Hello and a warm welcome to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. We're back once again for another weekend preview. ITV Racing with a bumper card from Newbury and Warwick to get stuck into. And as always, joined by a fine panel of guests. We've got Johnny Pearson from the Racing Post, Keith Melrose, our betting editor, and look who's back, Ed Nicholson. I think you've been away for, I think it's 3 weeks now, Ed. We haven't had you on the show, but you're back. How was your time away?
Yeah, good. 2 weeks holiday, 1 week I couldn't make it on the podcast. So yeah, Brett, I believe, ably deputied for me and actually landed a few tips. So well done to Brett. But yeah, looking forward to getting stuck into this Saturday's cards, because there might not be much racing with the weather, but I think we'll be all right at Newbury, hopefully.
Yeah, fingers crossed we get some good racing. Obviously, we have the really competitive Betfair Hurdle as the big handicap this week. And a Newbury is exactly where we start, the first race being the 130 there. It's a handicap hurdle, a class three event over 3 miles. And Kintara and Young Butler currently top the market with Unibet around 5-1. G.A. Henty, 11-2. Emiton, 7-1. American Sniper is 15-2. 9-1 about Equinus and Icarac. And then we're looking at double figures bar these in this race. And Ed, we start off with our money back if second or third offer here.
Yeah, the money back second or third is back on this opening race, the 130 at Newbury. And you can see why we're offering it on this race, because it's tricky, very tricky indeed. I went through the form this morning and got completely mulled up. Really anything can win. I like the Newbury form of Young Butler and Emiton last time out. There's only, I think, a pound difference between them this time around. And Young Butler looks like an improving young horse with a new trainer in Harry Derham, who's really going well this year. I think he had a winner today, which makes it, I think, 4 wins from 12 runners for Harry's team. It's an unusual choice for me, but I'm going for a favourite, 5-1 Young Butler. But anything could win. I'd be interested in what the other guys think, because I found this extremely difficult.
Okay, Young Butler, Fred Nicholson. Keith, I'll come to you. We've had a quick chat off air with regards to what the ground could potentially be like at Newbury. We know the rain has been falling. What do we make of the racing on Saturday at Newbury, and what do you make of this race?
Well, you know, I'm not much of a ground punter, particularly. It only really comes into my thinking when it's at the extremes, but I think it's going to be the extremes on Saturday, the amount of rain we're getting. You know, up north, they've had an awful lot more rain than they were forecast to get, and I believe it's coming from the south, this rain too. So I can see it being very testing at Newbury on Saturday. We had course records falling left, right and centre on this card 12 months ago, but yeah, this year, I think I'm looking for mudlarks this time round, really. That's been a bit of a starting point for me looking at this card.
Okay, is there one that really stands out in the 130 for you?
Actually, the ground thing's about the only thing against Young Butler, I thought. It is a little bit one of those races where it's almost too hard, and then for you put up the sort of horse that's the most interesting, even though he's favourite. He's won that Pertence qualifier here last time, and he'll need to probably win this, or certainly go up a few pounds to get into the final. Obviously, entries aren't out for that yet, so we don't know if he's aiming for that or not, but I would be fairly confident in thinking he is. It's just whether they fancy it on this deep ground. He's not got much form on it, and it wasn't that deep when he beat Emiton here last time. But he's the most interesting horse in the race. Derham wants that big winner, and he might fancy this to be the horse he does it with.
Okay, yeah, Harry Derham's horse, one to certainly watch out for. Could this horse be in line for a big run in the Pertemps in a month's time? It's only a short while until the Cheltenham Festival appears on our screens. Johnny Pearson, come to you now. Competitive handicap hurdles to get stuck into.
Yeah, I mean, you can make a decent case for most of those at the head of the market. But the one, I'm going to go against the other two, and I actually quite fancy Kintara here. I think he would have won last time out, bar a bad mistake at the last. And he's proven he goes on soft and heavy ground in his last two runs. He stays well, and I think he is still an improving horse. He will need to improve, but I think that improvement's there, and I think he's got more upsides with what the conditions are likely to be, and I'm going to side with him in that case. Whereas, as Keith mentioned, Young Butler's form is mostly on sounder surfaces, and I think that could be a negative for him on the day.
Okay, Kintara and Young Butler, gents sticking towards the top of the market. But do remember you can get your money back if second or third with Unibet and the 130 at Newbury. Do check out unibet.co.uk for all the terms and conditions for that. Let's move on then to some top quality graded action. The 205 at Newbury is the Denman Chaser, grade two, just shy of 3 miles. And Shishkin is currently your 4-7 favourite with Unibet. Protectorat is 85-40. Hitman, 11-1. Does He Know is 22-1. And Sam Brown is also around 22-1. First word, Ed, I guess, is Nicky Henderson. What's been said about Shishkin? The rain would be a question mark. I'm sure most viewers and listeners have their question marks whether this horse can do what we know he can do on soft ground. What were the words from Nicky?
Well, I think the soft ground will be okay. It's whether it is the extreme of the soft going that we spoke about earlier on. Because as we know, Nicky always puts his horses first. And if it was bottomless with only a month to go before the Cheltenham Festival, you could understand if he didn't run Shishkin in the race. However, we spoke to him earlier on today. The blog is shortly to be released on Unibet Racing. And he states that all systems are go. They're looking forward to running. This 2.5 miles obviously shouldn't be too difficult at Newbury. But the Gold Cup is the aim. And that's obviously over that little bit extra distance and a more grueling circuit. So that will be a bigger question. But he's odds on to win this, as he should be, because he's a top-rated horse in the race. Mm. But it'd be very unusual to find an odds-on horse whose last two bits of form are R and U. So he's not finished a race yet this season, but he's 8-13, 4-6. And that's more to do with the opposition, I think, than his real chance. I mean, he is the best horse in the race, but there's only one other horse in the race that you could seriously question opposing him with, I think, is Protectorat, who won the Unibet Many Clouds up at Aintree a couple of seasons ago and has run some really good races in softer conditions as well. That Many Clouds at Aintree, I was there that day and it was horizontal rain. They won't worry about the rainfall for Protectorat, and that might give that one a squeak against Shishkin, I suppose. But the other horses are, you know, Stone inferior or there or thereabouts, so they'd have to improve a lot. The ground conditions do bring class together, I suppose, and you might make a case for one of the others. But no, it's between the top two, and I'm a big Shishkin fan, so you know, you've got to go with the odds on Shishkin 4-6, I think.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are big fans of Shishkin, a lot of viewers and listeners. And Keith, I will come back to you again here. Do we think Shishkin would have won that King George? There was a big debate whether he would have won it if kind of staying on board the horse. But it was a fascinating race and he definitely showed that he retained all that ability.
Yeah, I think he was going to win. He got rated like the winner, I believe, on Racing Post ratings, or the joint winner at least. I think he was going to win, and I think he'd have won by possibly daylight. I think he was going better. I mean, the only issue with that being that they finished very slowly because they'd gone very hard. He'd raced closer to the pace than Hewick. But I think he would have won. So, and I think he is either him, if the Gold Cup's going to be won in Britain this year, by Britain this year, it'll be won by him or Long Press. And then the last two winners, British trained winners of the Gold Cup, both won this race before they won the Gold Cup at Coney Gree and Native River. He's the class angle in the race. Hope we get to see him when he got pulled. He's been pulled out once this season already on account of the ground. That was in the fighting fifth at Sandown. And the going stick, I know this is a very crude measure, but the going stick reading that day was 3.9. It's already 4.1 or 4.0 on the chase track here at Newbury. We've not had Friday's rain yet. I would have a lot of reservations about him running. I'm actually betting in this race on allowing for a rule four. I just think Shishkin's likely not to run the way the rain's going. It's just me taking a view as a punter. And that being the case, I've actually backed Sam Brown, who loves the mud, won in deep ground at Warwick in the Veterans Final last time. You know, twice in the last 10 months, he's put up performances in the high 150s on RPRs, which, you know, wouldn't beat Shishkin. But in a race where Shishkin, say, isn't here, 60 pence rule four or whatever it is, and you end up with a horse, you're getting about 9-10-1 there. And I think if Shishkin doesn't run, he goes off 9-2 second favourite. So I've put up Sam Brown.
Okay, Sam Brown, yeah, big prize. But again, like you say, we'll absolutely love the mud if it is proper testing at Newbury on Saturday. Johnny Pearson, Shishkin, obviously an odds-on favourite here. Would you be taking the horse on with a horse like Protectorat or one of the others?
No, I wouldn't. I think he would have won the the Gold Cup, not the Gold Cup, the King George fairly comfortably, as Keith said. I think, you know, he's the best horse in the race and he probably would have won, bar the mishaps. Was it two out, wasn't it, I think? So I think he will win this if he does, in fact, run. And if not, I think Protectorat will be the one to win the race if Shiskin's not in it. I think it's quite a simple way of looking at it. I mean, I you know, you can try and make cases for other horses and go deep into the form, but I think then you're overcomplicating things when it doesn't need to be done here.
Okay, two votes for Shiskin in and one vote for the outside of the field. Sam Brown for Keith and Melrose. Go on, Ed.
Sam, I was just going to say, Sam Brown won the Unibet middle distance, not the middle distance, won the Veterans Chase final at Warwick. And I was there that day and I spoke to Anthony Honeyball and the Connections owners of Sam Brown after. And I was asking whether they'll go to Cheltenham, whether they go to the Grand National, and definitely won't go to the Grand National. And they were thinking about Cheltenham, but they certainly didn't mention this race. I was trying to get them to run him in the £100,000 Unibet middle distance final at Haydock on the 30th of March, because although it's a drop down to 2.5 at the galloping track where you have to jump, well, at Haydock might suit them. So I'm surprised he's here, to be honest, not just because you wouldn't have thought he was the class, but it might be a shrewd bit of placing, as Keith mentioned.
It's,
you know,
chase the mud, wouldn't he? They just chased the mud with that horse. He's always been like that. Well, he won, you say, 2.5 miles at Haydock. He won the Alt Car in horrible ground as a novice, which is next weekend. So this time of year's fine, as long as the ground's there for him. They just chased the mud with him. They might have found it this time. You know, they might have just got lucky with that. I thought he'd be in the national entries, you know. I thought he was the sort of horse, because they always make sure the ground's slow on the national course these days.
I think he said he didn't enjoy it, but that's what they said. Yeah, he didn't enjoy it, so that's why he didn't face the fences, according to Anthony, anyway. That's what he told me at Warwick.
Okay, well, Anthony Honeyball taking a chance on the Denman Chase, and Keith will be taking a chance on the price of him on Saturday in the 205. Let's move on to another grade two, the 240, which is the Game Spirit Chase. This is just over 2 miles here, where Edward Stone's topping the market around 6-4 with Unibet. Boot Hill is 2-1. Editor de Gite is 6-1. Fernambul Savola, 9-1. Amarillo Sky is also 9s. And Calico, the outsider of the 6, at 16-1. Johnny, I'll start with you on this race this time around. Edward Stone, a horse who hasn't quite delivered it this season, but this seems like a good opportunity.
It is a good opportunity. He's got the best form in the race, and he's the best horse in the race. I'm not convinced he wants it as soft as Alan King seems to think he wants it, but that's neither here nor there. You know, he'd be up in trip last time, far too keen, just put a line through run at Kempton. It's a bit of a nothing race for him. And I think he will, provided he jumps soundly and isn't too keen. I think he'll be too good for the rest here and win. You know, it's not the most interesting selection I'm ever going to have, but again, it's favourite. He's the right favourite. And he should be winning this.
Okay, Keith Melrose, agreement with Johnny there or against Johnny?
I'm torn on this because there's a case for saying I don't think Edward Stone's 7-4 is his price. He should be arguable either a lot shorter than that, or he should perhaps be bigger, because that you're looking at this season, it's all about that Tingle Creek, isn't it? Where he was second to John Bond. That is shaky form, to say the least. You know, it's hard to pin down what that's worth. The RPR's gone with 167. I think you could have argued for his rating that day being anything between 160 and maybe 169, 170. But on balance of his entire career, I think 167 is higher than Edward Stone. I think it's the very maximum he's ever been worth. So I think there's maybe room to go at him. Not enamoured about anything else. Boot Hill does well in these handicaps. He does well in small fields. Probably a 160 horse at most. Editor de Gite, I thought he got lined up for the way the Desert Orchid. That was his big day out. They had to get him handicapped as part of it. And he's still looking like a 160 horse at best. All this is working round to saying that if Amarillo Sky, who's got really good form at Newbury, is at the level he was at when we last saw him a year ago, he shouldn't be double figures. And I might have a little bit on him with no great faith. I wouldn't be surprised to see Edward Stone dot up. But equally, I wouldn't be surprised to see Edward Stone to show us that he's never been more than a mid-160s horse. And therefore, that would make Amarillo Sky the value, because the rest of them don't have form that far in advance of this horse. A tentative one on Amarillo Sky for me.
Yeah, I was going to say a tentative selection, but another big price considering the field size from Keith Melrose, and Ed Nicholson finishes off in the 240.
Yeah, and Morelos Guy has been backed as well in the early skirmishes, so getting to near those single-digit figures now that we were just talking about. But, I mean, for me, Edwin Stone has everything in his favour this time. This is, I'm going to give him one more chance. I agree with what Keith said. I agree about the horse himself. You could say he's regressing. You could say he's certainly not made the step up, that's for sure. But he's got everything. I thought he pulled too hard last time. I think we all know that. And he still managed to get into the race going five wide, if memory serves me right, into the home straight, which wouldn't have helped his cause. I think Tom Cannon was trying to kind of give him his head at one stage because he just thought it's pointless trying to hold him up. That was over further, wasn't it? So it's back now down to 2 miles. I think he's more likely to settle as they go quicker. And I think they'll go much quicker today because you've got Editor Geaton, Funivel Sivola, who will definitely go quicker, which will suit Edward Stone in terms of settling him. And he's got the best form in the race. He's got good Newbury form, albeit in lesser company. He made his debut at Newbury, I think, as well, in a bumper. And was third in the Betfair Hurdle, I remember, only 3 years ago. So obviously not over fences, but the confirmation of the track, configuration of the track will be okay. So I'm going to give Edward Stone one more go. I actually thought he would be shorter than 2 to 1, 7 to 4. Okay. I mean, I could see him being 11 to 8 because Bootil, who is his nearest rival in the betting, disappointed when he fell. But I listened back to the commentary on ITV actually, and quite interesting to hear the jockeys' comments where they're saying he wasn't going well. This is not Bootil. He's making mistakes. I don't think he's going well. And then the next fence, he fell. So that, you know, I don't think Bootil is anywhere near as good as Edward Stone. He's only about 4 or 5 pounds off him on ratings. But I just think Edward Stone will have the race to run to suit. And I'll give him one more chance.
Okay, a couple of votes for Edward Stone then, and one tentative vote for Amarillo Sky in the game Spirit Chase at 240. And moving on to the Betfair Hurdle at 315. This is just over 2 miles here, a class one handicap, and it's a really good handicap at that. And O'Castle Dame Mott for Willie Mullins. This saw so much money coming during the week. 4-1 favourite at the time of recording with Unibet. Iberico Lords 11-2. Outer Belly is 7-1. Tell Her the Name is 8-1. Look Away and Brentford Hope, along with Orangey Mill, are 11-1 and 12-1. And bigger about the rest of the field. I have a really weird, really strong record in this race at finding winners of the Betfair Hurdle for some reason. Ed, you're going to give us extra places, though, to help us try and get into the money.
Yeah, I think we all need extra places in this race. I actually love having a bet in this race from years back. And the extra places always help, don't they? Really good race. Horses coming up the scene, and horses that are maybe just coming down from top class meeting each other. Always a genuinely interesting race. And there's always something to talk about. And this time it's the handicap mark for the favourite, isn't it? I pledge that it's worth reading Nicky Henderson's blog, because he starts with it saying it's absolutely ridiculous that a Castle Denmark can run £6 lower mark here than in Ireland. When someone asked him what's his best handicapped horse in the race, he said it's irrelevant because there's only one well handicapped horse in the race, and that's Oscastle de Mott. So really, on ratings, if you're a form man, he has to be the selection, doesn't he, at 5-1 with the extra place. I'm a big fan of Nicky Henderson in these races. He won it with a few horses. Gios, I think, he won it with back in the day. And My Ten to Yours, who then came second in the Supreme, he won, I think, his rate about 1.39 or something ridiculous that day, or maybe a little bit higher, maybe 1.49. So he does like to have a few darts at this race. He's got four runners. Lucia, who we said before, this may be her last season over hurdles. There's a rumour, well, it's not a rumour, it came from the owner, saying that he may try her on the flat before returning to paddocks next year. So Lucia, he said that she doesn't lie soft, but the form she's got on soft is quite good. But they're all adamant at Seven Barrows that she's better on faster ground. But she has got soft ground form. Under Control, who ran all sorts of funny races at Newbury, didn't she? Basically, in between the third last and second last, she was going the best in what was called the Jerry Fielding, registered as the Jerry Fielding, and then practically pulled up after the last, and then came out and came second and has run well since. But Iberica Lord would be the selection of the three from Nicky Henderson, and that's going to be my selection. I think there's any amount of improvement still to come from this horse. I know he didn't particularly run well at Ascot, but I'm willing to give this one another go with the going in his favour. I think this horse will like the softest ground conditions. So Iberica Lord, of all the Nick Henderson ones, I think is his most likely winner. I think he thinks he's his most likely winner of the four, and it's the one I'm going to put up as my selection.
Okay, yeah, speaking to the Racing Post very own David Jennings, who was very keen at the start of the week on Iberico Lord as well. It's quite good to have on the postcast two gents who do watch a fair bit of French racing. Keith, I'll come to you. What do we know about O'Castle de Mott?
Well, this horse rashed around in France in June, which is before me and Phil Anderson took over doing the Otoy racing. So it's Johnny's figure. I know the horses he ran against a bit. I know there's a horse called Amy Dukif, who he beat in a listed handicap at Compiègne. She's won a 2 mile six grade one chase this autumn. So you'd maybe think that's one really strong. I said to Johnny, in reality, what's happened with Amy Dukif is that she's absolutely thrived over staying trips. In a way, a lot of the four-year-olds she's running against hasn't. You know, they're asking four-year-olds to run over 2 mile six in what is, by the middle of November, end of November, pretty deplorable ground. At Otoy, they race on it lots in short bursts. So by the end of each little season, you meet, the Americans would call it, they're ending up, the ground's ends up pretty bad. So Amy Dukif's a real survivor. So I wouldn't necessarily read loads into the fact that that horse has been improving since. In terms of O'Castle de Mott, it's interesting what the Irish handicapper's done, I think, because Paul Keeley's pointed out the French handicapper loves to go high on these horses. And therefore, normally what the French handicapper's given them is about as high as a British handicapper will ever go on a horse. Generally speaking, they'll often go lower if they think the French handicapper's got carried away. So it's very interesting that the Irish handicapper's gone much higher than what the French handicapper gave him. I think that's probably a sensible bit of handicapping from the Irish handicapper, and arguably a lax bit of handicapping from the British handicapper. So we'll have to see how it goes. I mean, it's very hard to see, because these horses that go, you know, he's had, not only did he run this in France, he's come over to Willie Mullins now and had, what, 8 months in the Mullins yard to improve. A lot of the time they do for that. Madara's a horse that was, you know, we talk about that one at the Dublin Racing Festival last week. Sophie Leach improved that from France very quickly. You know, that has improved £30 since it's come back from France to over here. You know, I had a look at his form in France, which I did rate, and went, could I have gone higher on that? I couldn't. The horse has just improved £30. So we can get these top British and Irish trainers improving these French horses. He isn't well handicapped in what he showed in France, but Mullins will have improved him. So it's a very hard one to pin down. I can absolutely understand why he's been so popular. Mullins does this time and time again with these horses. So it's very understandable. I won't be backing him, though. I'm going to have a go on, because it's just faith, isn't it? It's faith. You've got to...
It's one you'd let win. People say, yeah, I'd exactly. let it go and win. Yeah.
But if I'm backing this horse, I am trusting Mullins improving a horse from France by a stone, which, that's not how I punt. That's not how I like to look at racing. I like to get things right off Bonestay, but I don't like to have faith in Willie Mullins. You know, there's punters that have roll-ups and accumulators and multiples on trainers and runners and jockey runners. That's having faith in that individual. Fine. It's not how I punt. So I'm going to have a bet on a horse that I think has just given me good horse vibes all winter, which is Ben Pollings, runner, tell her the name. Horse form with Django Bay, second to that horse at Ascot, and looked like he was going to beat it, jumping the last, you know, just gets overhauled late in the day. And then he ran against that horse in what was the Tolworth at Aintree, just lost his action, pulled up, but he just lost his action. And since either side of that, he's run in races at Huntingdon that are simply beneath him, and he's won at cramped odds both times. Just looks like, if this horse hasn't got a mid-140s performance in him, I'll be very surprised, and he's rated 135. That's how I prefer to bet. You know, I look at this horse and go, he's 145 easy. And he's rated 135 officially coming into this race. So I would be more inclined to take the chance on him at about double the price of the Mullins horse, rather than just assume that Mullins improved his horse of stone.
Perfect. Look, what a great insight that is. Take a bow there, Keith Melrose, on the favourite O'Castle de Mott. Really good insight into the French raider. Well, not French raider, the French raider that's joined the Mullins camp and his favourite of the Betfair Hurdle market. Johnny Pearson, not much really to say about the favourite because Keith's covered that off pretty well, but who do you like?
Yeah, not a huge amount. I mean, I messaged Keith about it early in the week when I saw him entered. And I was going back through the French form, and really, you can't go much higher than Woodiers, but he may have improved £10+ since moving, but that's anyone's guess, and I wouldn't want to be taking a stab in the dark on that front. Obviously, it's always an easy race to try and find a winner of, but there's a couple in it that I quite like, and one is for Harry Derham. That's Brentford Hope. Showed decent form on the flat, usually on soft and heavy ground, and I think with conditions as they're likely to be, that will suit him, and I think he can really improve on his run in the Jerry Fielden at Newbury in December. He's had a little bit of time off the track since then. He's got first time tongue tied, first time pieces, and on Saturday. And I think, you know, if he focuses, and as he should do for it, he should be running all the way to the line in what's likely to be quite stamina stapping, with usually and typically a lot of pace on in the race. And another one I like is quite a big price, and there are concerns, is Knickerbocker Glory for Dan Skelton. Won at the start of November, making the running, keeping on really well, beating Outer Belly quite comfortably, who's, you know, short price, near enough favourite for the race. And I think, you know, the race at Cheltenham later in November probably came too soon for him, and didn't see the trip out, didn't get home that day. So you're willing to put a line through that. The main concern is he does like to go from the front, and he is likely to be taken on for the lead. And will he blow out by the end of the race? There is a chance of that happening, but you know, a big price, I'm willing to have a small each way bet on him there.
Yeah, Knickerbocker Glory currently 33-1 with Unibet. It's a good each way bet. Ed, just remind our viewers and listeners how many places?
What extra place? So that'll be five, won't it?
Five places, yeah. So five places there, and 33-1 there about Knickerbocker Glory. A big price for Johnny Pearson. But a few horses mentioned there, but a lot of insight into the favourite as well. So that's Newbury done and dusted. We're off to Warwick next.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with three UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Welcome back to the second part of the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. You've still got Sam Hart, Keith Melrose, Johnny Pearson and Ed Nixon spinning you through the ITV Racing Card this Saturday. We move to Warwick next for the 145. This is a handicap hurdle, a Class 2 event over 2 mile, 5 furlongs, and Santos Blue is topping the market with Unibet around 13-8. Astronomic View 4-1. Resplendent Grey is 9-2. Warlord 17-2. Up for Parole 9-1, and double figures about the final three in that market. This is an interesting race to kick things off from Warwick. Ed, what do we make of this?
Interesting, yeah. Santos Blue's form of his life. This time last year, he was winning a handicap of 108 at Chepstow. He's much higher now at 133. And anyone who didn't see him win last time should watch the video, because Ben Sutton won the race despite having both legs out of the irons, lost his stirrups, and managed to get home on board him. He rides him often, does Ben, and that was a really good ride to get him home. But he looks, and given the fact he could do that drifting across the track, he looks like he's still a step ahead of the handicap. He's going to have to be, because he's going up again. And he does head the weights with 12 stone, but is there to be shot at. 15-8 favourite, deserved to be favourite. The one that took my eye, though, was Resplendent Grey. Lightly raced individual, won a few novices in summer, and kicked off the season actually at Chepstow in the Unibet Persian War, where he chased home one horse that I think is very good called Captain Teague, who I know disappointed at Cheltenham, but I still think he's a very good horse, Captain Teague. Absolutely put in his place by Captain Teague that day, Resplendent Grey. But that was a Grade 2, an early season Grade 2. And I think that form's probably the best here on display. Has been disappointing a couple of runs since. Ran at Aintree on that desperate ground when third last time. I get a feeling he's not that easy to ride. I looked at a few of his races and he wears a hood, or he did, he does today, he did last time. I just get a feeling he might pull a bit, and it doesn't always be the most resolute horse in a race, but he's lightly raced. Ollie Murphy's horse is coming back into form. I just think he's a better horse than Santos Blue, and he's getting weight from Santos Blue. Obviously, Santos Blue deserves his handicap mark, don't get me wrong, but I just think Resplendent Grey has potential to be better than the 1-2-6 mark he's got at the moment.
Okay, Resplendent Grey around 9-2 with Unibet currently. Johnny Pearson, who for you in the 145 at Warwick?
And it's not the race I've got an overly strong view on. I think Astronomic View, first time pieces may help a little bit, but likely to be, you'd like to think, be filling the places yet again. Up for parole if back to his best form would have a chance. And then Warlord's taken quite a big fall from grace. You know, he had a rating of 149 over fences not too long ago, now rated 131 here and 136 over fences. And, you know, if he did somehow find that form, he'd be way ahead of the rest. But it's not a horse you can be trusting to run to that level. So, I mean, I'm not going to have a bet in the race, but I think, you know, if something does come back to their best, I don't think it's as straightforward as some people would think for Santos Blue.
Yeah, Warlord's certainly interesting in this race. Keith Melrose, I get your selection here. Who do you like in the first race to come from Warwick?
I did spend a bit of time looking at Resplendent Grey. I put him up for the race he ran at Cheltenham in November after he'd run in the Persian War there. And I was disappointed by that run and a little bit disappointed by entry two. You know, I'd still respect the horse, and I think Ed's absolutely right about the horse's ability. I think he has got the ability to be a better horse than the favourite and is getting weight off him. But I sort of bottled it a bit and went, well, I can get double the price about Up for Parole, who is still appealing this race really, really well handicapped. Third in the Lanzarote last year off a £5 higher mark in soft ground. Hasn't been as easy to train this year. He's come right down the weights. He's only run twice this season, and he had about 8 weeks off before he ran in the Lanzarote last time. Led him a two out, got tired. So maybe he is a little bit behind where he was this time last year, but clearly suits this sort of trip in soft ground. You know, he's got a full brother, let's be clear about it, who got a Grand National entry on Tuesday. Bit of a Grand National dark horse, that one. So if you had any doubts about this horse, who does mix and match it a little bit between shorter trips and this sort of trip, whether he's got the stamina or not, his brother's in the National. So yeah, and Daryl Jacobs riding him. It's interesting that Daryl Jacobs riding here rather than Newbury, given the double green have got the favourite for the Betfair Hurdle, but he's here to ride the Kingmaker favourite, who we'll get onto. And he's also taken this spare, lovely spare, and I can see Up for Parole going well.
Yeah, okay, Up for Parole around 9-1 with Unibet currently. Moving on to 2:20 then, the Warwick Mares hurdle, a listed contest over 2 mile, 5 furlongs. Four runner field here. You Wear It Well is the 4-6 favourite. Win to the Lightning 5-2. Get a Tonic is 9-2. And Blue Beach is currently 50-1. This will be one for the potentially a lot of punts this week, and have multiples with some of the short prices. You Wear It Well will be part of that. Ed, would it be your fancy?
Yeah, I just think she wins. Simple as that. She's 2 mile five is probably will suit. It's probably better distance for her than 3 miles plus. She's the top horse in the race. Obviously, has to give a bit of weight away penalty. But I think she wins. I think she'll go off much shorter than 4-2. I've seen 10-11, 4-5 around, and I think she'll go off 4-7.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it could be very short on the day. You Wear It Well, a confident selection there from Ed. Johnny, agreement?
I think you Wear It Well should win the race, but I'm not going to be parting with any money. The fact that she only ran, just over 10 days ago in what was a decent enough race, beating coming second to Marie's Rockets, I'd rather have a longer break between races. But for all, I think she should be winning here.
Okay, and Keith Melrose for the hat trick.
Yeah, can't see a way around her, really. I agree with Ed. I think she'll go off shorter than 4-5 that you can sort of see just now. I think you're going to be looking, getting on for 2s on by the off.
Okay, so yeah, it could be a real short price favourite there in the 2:20 at Warwick. The final race we're actually covering from Warwick, we won't be covering the Kingmaker, Keith, but I will come to you just in case you've got an opinion. But the 2:55 is the Unibet Middle Distance Series Veterans Handicap Chase, Class 2 event over 2.5 miles, where Do Your Job is topping the market for Charlie Longstone and Lily Pynchon at 5-2. Diego de Charmille is 7-2. Riders on the Storm, 9-2. Fast Buck, 9-2. Legerian is 11-2. Champagne Mystery, 17-2. And Broken Quest is 14-1. Ed, are you going to be at Warwick for the Unibet Middle Distance or not there tomorrow?
90% sure. Yeah, I'm just going to have a quick check on the weather. But if it's okay, I'll go if it's raining. It's just if I can't get there, I won't go. But yeah, no, I should be there. It was great there last time for the Veterans Chase final. That was the first time I'd been at Warwick for about 30 years. I went to university at Loughborough, and I set up the Turf Society there, and we ran the Turf Society Novices Handicap Hurdle there with about 150 students back in the 1990s. So it was nice to go back. I was disappointed to see they haven't got the Spartan Missile Bar anymore, one of my favourite horses. You're probably too young, but Spartan Missile was a favourite of mine. But as for this race, first of all, it's great that the series is doing well. This is the first year of a five-year series, over £300,000 worth of prize money in year one. Two more to go, I think, after this, the big final. Although this year you don't have to qualify, next year you will. But this year you can still run in the final. That's a £100,000 race at Haydock at the end of March. And we're getting more horses entered. And what I'm really happy about is to see Diego de Charmille running. Because I when I was thinking about the race, and before I went to the BHA and the Jockey Club, I spoke to a few owners and trainers. And Johnny de la Haye was one that I went to because I knew he'd got a few of these French horses that were nearing the end of their careers, maybe. Or that's not fair. They're too high in a handicap to actually win any big races. And I wondered if he'd be running these horses in this sort of race like Dolos. And I mentioned Diego de Charmille to him. And he said he would certainly look to run these horses, those horses in these races. So I'm really glad that he is running Diego de Charmille here. Great supporter of racing, as we know, Johnny de la Haye. And I think he's got a great chance. He's obviously his back form. He was a really good handicapper, as we know, if not better. And has been coming down the ratings. We haven't seen him for some time. Ran in May, I think it was, when second. 144, he's now down 139. If he's 12, but he's running against 10, 11 and 12 year olds here, so not too worried about the age, obviously. It's just whether he retains any of that ability. Hopefully he will. I know that the owner has been talking about this race, as I say, so no reason to suggest he isn't there ready to go and do his best and be a good Diego de Charmille, as it were. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him, and I hope he wins. It's great to see other horses like Legerian running. It'll be the third time he's running one of our middle distance races this season. He won at Kempton and was third in another race. And Do Your Job was a remarkable winner last time up at Wetherby, when dropped back to fifth and last before coming back and winning on the line, beating a very unfortunate horse who'd led all the way up until then. And that's interesting, that horse, Do Your Job, because he's had his third trainer inside about 12 months, Do Your Job. Interesting, he's gone to Charlie Long's. I didn't see if it's the same. Yeah, same owner, I think, as when he was with Lucinda Russell. But that was maybe someone else knows what the backstory is with that. But he's won the race and now he's with Charlie and has a first run for Charlie in this race. So really competitive race. I've spoken a lot and probably too much about this race. But Diego de Charmille is the one for me.
Okay, Diego de Charmille. I say one thing is that these veterans races with Unibet, they're certainly getting great coverage from the media. ITV, The Racing Post and other media outlets are giving it great coverage and positive and great positive chat from trainers and jockeys with regards to the series as well. So, yeah, they are fantastic to watch. And one man who is a big fan of the veterans races is Mr. Keith Melrose. Who do you like in this?
Yeah, Do Your Job thing, first of all. He was Michael Scudamore, wasn't he? And he merged with Lucinda Russell. So I think that's where that first one came from. But yeah, I'm quite surprised to see him turning out for Charlie Longston now, having won last time. He looked like a horse that we're really struggling with. You know, he'd been grade two quality as a novice hurdler, grade two quality as a novice chaser. And then he just lost his way entirely. And it looked like they'd got him back to an extent at Wetherby last time, albeit, with caveats about him not looking the heartiest, but for him to then go to Charlie Longston, I thought was a bit surprising. So that's a real question mark for me. Diego de Charmille having coming back off 650 days off is a big query for me as well, although he's clearly handicapped to win this race. And I just feel like Legerien, who's been mentioned here, is the horse that should get a bit more credit than as he bounces out in front, jumps nicely generally. And he's got really good form in these races. He's had a really good win record of late. Some of his seconds has been notable as well. He was second to Jetoile, who won the Old Roan. He was second to him at Chepstow in the spring there. He was third behind Sepage in that the veterans race at Cheltenham, which is obviously pretty good form compared to a race like this. And then he bumped into Pepe Limoco at Kempton last time, second, having but he traded 5-4 in the run. So he's obviously showing loads and loads of zest. Going and you know, Pepe Lomuco was six, really progressive young horse. There's nothing like that in this race. So I thought the Legirien at 11-2 was overpriced in this race. Loads that you could make cases for. I mean, Champagne Mystery is another one that really caught the eye a little bit at Cheltenham last time, and as well handicapped on some old form, but again, a lot of his recent forms in France, and it's hard to weigh that up, and especially when they're 10. So Le Legirien just looked dead solid to me, and I thought he should be shorter than 11-2.
Okay, Le Legirien for Keith. And Johnny Pearson, a man who likes seeing these veterans jump around, but isn't the biggest punter in these races. But who did you like?
So I really like Fastback in this race. He's got good recent form, winning last up in trips, a bit of an unknown, but I think he'll really benefit. Well, not necessarily benefit, but I think he'll see the trip out well. And on form, on ground officially described as heavy, he's run on it four times, winning twice and coming second twice. And I think he's the one they've got to beat here and should be a shorter price than he is.
Okay, fast buck for Johnny Pearson then. So one thing I should mention, Ed, is that this is a Super Boost race. We should probably mention that. And I think it's worth telling our viewers and listeners just what the Super Boost includes before we head off into our final part.
Yeah, good point, Sam. Should have mentioned that myself. obviously want to support our sponsored races. And so our trading team have decided to use the Super Boost function for this particular race, Super Boost. It's where from 9 a.m. on Saturday morning, you'll get the next price up of the ladder on every horse in the race. So lots of price boosts that we have and other firms have. They choose or we choose the boost. So you have to go with the favourite or a horse. And invariably, it'll be a point or two up the curve. But in this particular function, the Super Boost, it gives every single horse the next price up on the price ladder. So you are getting a little bit extra value. For those of you that know the betting and how it works, it just means the margin is lower, which theoretically gives you more chance of winning. So just a small little bonus, the Super Boost. We do it every week. And on this particular occasion, it's to link up with our sponsored race, the Unibet Middle Distance Race at 2.55.
So there you go. If you want to get involved with that, 9 a.m. on Saturday morning, you can get involved with the Super Boost race there, and all the details you can find at unibet.co.uk. If you did want to look at some of the replays from some of the horses that we've discussed today, you can do so now on the Racing Post app, and you can currently get 50% off. Check this out. Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart, Ed Nicholson, Keith Melrose and Johnny Pearson taking you through the weekend action. We now get into some people's favourite part, the show, the any other selections for the weekend away from the ITV action. Keith, I'll start with you. What else is there away from the ITV action you like to look of?
One, it's at Newbury, and if I'm perfectly honest, if we nap on the ITV stuff, if we had free rein, I'd probably nap this horse because I quite like it. We've got a horse called Hitching Jacking in there. Mr. Coffee's in this race, and you'd always want to take on Mr. Coffee, aren't you? That's not why I'm backing this horse. It's a really, really quite warm race. Inch House is in there, who was really interesting before he blocked his copybook a little bit at Cheltenham on New Year's Day. Hitching Jacking has run twice over fences, both quite good runs behind Mufasa and Raffle Ticket. Good form, that Raffle Ticket form. Both times he's not jumped the very, very best, but has made big, notable moves into the race, travelled really nicely, and just emptied out, as maybe the sketchy jumping's come into force. And there's been a couple of gaps between his two runs as well, so you can excuse it on fitness grounds too. Best form over hurdles was when he went over 2.5 miles and when he got into deep ground too. So I'm not worried about conditions for him. Feel like he's a horse that's going to slowly come right. He's been put in, we're only at the stage where the non-telly races, only the very early firms are pricing up, and you're getting about 7-1. And he should be shorter than that for this race.
Okay, there we go. It's one for Keith. Johnny, anything else that we should mention this weekend?
Yeah, as briefly mentioned earlier, the 3:30 at Warwick, the Kingmaker Novice Chase. I'm a big fan of Matata, who's a short price, odds-on favourite for the race. And proven on heavy ground before, it really should be winning here over 2 miles. But I also think that if they were to go to the Arkle at Cheltenham, I think he would still have a good chance in what looks, there's not, doesn't seem to be a standout horse for the race. And if he settles a bit better with his racing, I think if he was a bit too keen last time still when JPR won the race at Lingfield, I think if he were to settle a bit better, there's still more improvement there to come. And I think at the prices he is for the Arkle, we've had a little bit each way, non-runner, no bet. And I think he's as good a shout as any other horse in the race at the moment.
See, an interest in this one, Johnny, because I quite like the idea of Liberty Hunter, who beat him at Cheltenham. He could be a Grand Annual horse. And I'm not sure it's the Arco that JPR one has got the vibes of a horse that runs a big race in the Maggle to me. He's maybe not going to be quite Arco class, wants that longer, straight and flatter track because he's a big old unit. I'm not going to be backing Matata, not my sort of bet, but I hope he sort of wins for the collateral form because I quite like some of the horses that have beat him.
Okay, the other race that we did mention off air, Johnny, was the what we like to call the Boodles trial race. Just give that a quick mention.
So we've got the 120 at Nace, which I'll be honest, I'm not sure it's going to go ahead given it's heavy currently and they're expecting another 20 millimetres of rain. But the last four of the last five runners of the Boodles have run in this race at Nace. And Lark in the Morning's been very well touted for the Boodles, although he's rated 118 over in Ireland. And he did have an entry for a race in Britain last week or 2 weeks ago, and he was given a mark of 120. So he wouldn't be guaranteed to get in the Boodles with that. But he's very much one that's been on a lot of people's radars, and if he were to win well, I'd expect him. I mean, he's favourite for the Boodles at the moment, I think. I think he would shorten even further for the race, which is quite mad so far out, and we haven't even seen all the entries for it. And then a couple more actually interesting races at Nace if it does go ahead. The 230, it doesn't look much of a maiden hurdle, but you've got Gold in the Rivers for Gordon Elliott, who's well beaten on debut, but well backed at 9-2 and cost over €200,000. So he could potentially be a good horse. And Union Station for Gavin Cromwell was only just over 10 lengths behind Tully Hill on debut, and he could also be one to keep an eye on going forwards. And then the 340, we've got the Mayor's Chase with Allegri Davassi, Riviere Detel, and Silent Approach, and that looks at another cracking race. So fingers crossed it does go ahead.
Yeah, there's plenty of good racing across the Irish Sea as well this weekend, as there always is on any big weekend of racing. So do keep your eyes on Nace if that does go ahead. Ed, I don't know if there's any other races you want to mention before we get onto the naps.
There's one race that Keith went in depth about, so I won't go on too much about it, but the 350 at Newbury. We mentioned good old Mr. Coffey, 13th time lucky, hopefully.
We can't keep doing this on this podcast. Yeah. We really can't.
I'm not going to back him, you'll be glad to know, or tip him, but... Actually, what I wanted to point out is that Nicky Henderson has got a really good record at Newbury, as we all know. I think his level stake, £53 up for all his handicap hurdlers. He's had about 45 winners this century. But his chasers do extremely badly. He's gone 36 handicap chases without a win at Newbury. That goes back to 3.5 seasons long. You say he doesn't do well with his handicap chasers. And Mr. Coffey, obviously, he talks about him in his blog, and Nico talks about him in his blog and says one day everything will come right for him. I'm not sure it will. So I'm going to go with Inch House. I think if Mr. Coffey is 7-2, second favourite, I think you're getting a bit of value with the next two or three in the market. So and the favourite is Inch House. Disappointing, you could say, at Cheltenham. In fact, you very much definitely could say. But he's 137. He looks like a horse that could be much better than that in time. I'll give Inch House another go to get back into the winning groove, given the conditions of the race, given that Mr. Coffey is second favourite. Are you going to go for Mr. Coffey?
No, I've read that Unibet blog every weekend that this horse has run, and honestly, I've always thought that this could be his weekend. And I've stopped backing this horse now. but there is going to be a weekend where this horse goes and wins at a fair old price.
He must work like thunder. He must absolutely work like thunder, that horse.
He does.
He's becoming the postcast cliff horse. That's what we're going to have to call him. He's getting a mention most weekends now on this show.
Two people have tipped against him unprompted here. It's not the postcast tip horse.
He seems to get mentioned, though, plenty. But one day he's going to come along and he's going to ruin everything. Well, not ruin everything. It's going to be an absolute party when this horse wins.
Well, he is. No, he is going to ruin everything. The day he decides to win will be the day I'm backed against him. There's no question that's the day it happens.
You know, he wins the Grand National. That's what he does.
Oh, that's it. We did. I think we said that, I think before Christmas, Ed, we mentioned that could happen, is that the day he turns up could be the National. So we'll just wait and see. But yeah, keep a good eye on that 3:50 at Newbury on Saturday. Right, let's get the naps then, gentlemen, the best bets for the week. And I'm going to kick things off. And this is not any reason because Ed is back. And I haven't tipped a Gary Moore horse for a long, long time. But Ed's now returned, right? No. I'm going to make a case because I actually, when this horse won at Sandown, it's Spirit Danu. As soon as it won, it crossed the line. I said this horse would be winning the Betfair Hurdle. I made that statement then. And a few of my friends watched this show and they would agree that I did mention that. And I genuinely think the ground has come absolutely perfect for this horse. I think this is a graded horse in the making for sure. Went up £10 for that win at Sandown. Excellent. Kaelin Quinn now takes over from Niall Houlihan. Takes off £3. We know how good Kaelin Quinn is as a jockey, taking off that £3. The horse has been well supported. I know that. But speaking to the yard about their runners, this is the one they now fancy. I think they would have liked, they would have been fancied Hansard in this race had that rain not come. But obviously the rain's come now. Spirit Danu's their number one. And I think around sort of the 14-1 mark, I think this is far too big with those extra places with Unibet. Ed, I'm going to come to you for your nap next.
Yeah, I'm going to give Edward Stone another chance to get back to the winning groove. I think everything's in his favour. I had become a bit disappointed by him, but I think this race is just will fall into his lap the way the race will be run. He's a better class horse, and there's down towards the bottom of the race card, there's not anything good enough to beat him. So, yeah, Edward Stone, what I thought was a fair price this morning, around about 7-4, 2-1.
Okay, Edward Stone, the game Spirit Chase for Ed. Johnny Pearson, who's your nap this weekend?
I can nap Fast Buck in the 2:55 at Warwick. I think he's got best recent form, will be too good for the rest of them.
Okay, there we go. For a man who in a few weeks back said he didn't like betting in the veterans races, his nap comes in the 2:55, the Unibet Middle Distance Series Veterans Handicap Chase with Fast Buck. And Keith Melrose, who is going to be the best bet for you this weekend?
I'm having to, unfortunately, go quite far down my list for a nap this week because I've said Hitching Jackie might have been it if I'd been really able to do non-ITV races. I'm really quite excited about how I'm playing the Denman Chase, but I can't really recommend Sam Brown or Protected It because Protected It would go off, you know, the rule four is in your favour if you back Protected It too and you won't mind the rain. So how I'm playing the Denman's exciting me. And Johnny got in first with the Veterans Race. I would have put up the Legere in for that. With all those away from me, I'm just going to put up a horse that's going to win, which is You Wear It Well in 2:20 at Warwick.
There we go. No harm in that. You Wear It Well at Warwick. That's in the 2:20, the Warwick Mayor's Hurdle. And these are all boosted at the time of upload. All of our naps will be boosted on the Unibet website as soon as this video and audio podcast is uploaded. So you can go check out Unibet to get hold of those boosts. Right, I've literally got like a minute and a half just quickly to find out what everyone's up to this weekend. We always like to do it on this show. Keith Melrose, anything exciting? Come on.
Yeah, well, my parents are taking the kids away for a week for half term.
Ah, yes. Now so Keith's got a great weekend on.
Yeah. got plenty of plans. So weekend without kids mostly, which is
you're not sanding down any doors this time, Keith.
No, I'm not. So, tell you what, that's next. I think that's during the week when they're away in the evening, because they're away in the evening, so I can do it in the evening, so I can have my weekend to myself, right. And then I bloody sand down doors during the week. But you know, at least we get some of the time back.
Oh, perfect. There we go. Keith's got a weekend to himself. That's great. Johnny Pearson, for yourself, what are you up to?
We've got a friend's 30th birthday to go to, which would be the second week in a row, which should be fun. Got to behave myself, though, as always. Drink responsibly, gamble responsibly.
Absolutely. My 30th birthday's coming up in May. I can't believe that. I'm going to get into the big 3-0. Ed Nicholson, what's your weekend hold?
Well, going to 30th birthdays is way past my time, so I won't be doing that. But I'm going to Warwick, so as long as I can get there, up at Warwick, lovely little course to see some good racing, hopefully, including the Unibet Middle Distance Veterans Chase.
Excellent. Yeah, really looking forward to seeing that. Along with seeing, I'll be sat on the sofa actually watching the racing this weekend, but looking forward to cheering home Mr. Coffee at Newbury. Yeah, big thanks to the gents as always. Great show. Really enjoyed that. We're going to be back again next weekend for another postcast. We're really close now to the Cheltenham Festival, really kind of teasing our way into it. And we're getting more of the panel's thoughts on the Cheltenham Festival as we lead up to the big week in March. So yeah, thanks as always to our guests. Thanks for listening. Do it as always, like, comment, share and subscribe, and we'll see you again very soon.